not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. I want to focus in on verse 1 here. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. I want to look just a little bit here this evening at that thought there. What do we desire? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this, for your word, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to preach it. I pray, Lord, that you just help each and every one of us. Help us to conform our lives to it, Lord. Lord, help us to just each and every day, Lord, as we seek your face, as we study your word, Lord, as we read it daily, Lord, that we would just daily conform our lives to your word, that you would just help us just each and every day, each and everything we do, Lord, help us to just consider it. Help us to just seek and desire to live for you. And I pray, Lord, that you just use your word tonight, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we all know, we desire different things that come and go in life, right? When it's really hot out, I don't like the heat. I desire it to be cooler. Some of you may desire it to be warmer. That's your choice. When it's really cold out and you're freezing to death, oftentimes people desire it to be a little warmer, right? When you have no money, you desire some money. I've never had this problem, but maybe somebody has the problem where they have too much money and they desire less. If you have that problem, please see me afterwards. No, I've never had that problem, right? We have different desires that come and go, right? But through all those fleeting desires of our lives, what is our desire toward God? What is our desire towards the things of God? The passage here says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And then it goes on and lists out those qualifications for that office. But I want you to notice that it says, if a man desires it, he desireth a good work. It says that before it lists out those qualifications. A man may desire that office, but he may be disqualified from it. But according to the word of God, he still desires a good work. What is our desires towards the things of God? Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Go over to Philippians chapter 1, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 1. I want to look here at a desire the Apostle Paul had. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, Philippians 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. The Apostle Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. But what I shall choose, I wot not. He says, if I'm living in the flesh, what I get in this flesh, that's what I've got. That's all I get. I'm not taking that with me. I'm not getting anything above that. I'm not getting anything beyond that. That's all I've got. Is what I live in this flesh for, is what I get in this flesh. But then he continues on there, and he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. The Apostle Paul says, you know, I desire to go be with Christ. I desire to go to my home in heaven with Jesus Christ. But more than that, for your benefit, for your help, I desire to stay here a little longer. I desire to see you furthered a little more before I go. It says in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul has been through by this point in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I, received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Skip down to verse 33. "And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand." He escaped there, the governor of Damascus. You see, all these different things the Apostle Paul had suffered. And then you get over to Philippians and he says, "I desire Christ, but I desire to help you, church at Philippi, a little more. I desire to see you furthered a little bit more before I go." Does that say something about the desires of the Apostle Paul? I think it says volumes. He had suffered all these things. He had been stoned a night and a day in the deep, beaten, all these things. And the Apostle Paul, the weary Apostle Paul, says, "I desire Christ, but I desire to help you more." He was in pain by this point in his life. He lived daily in pain from the abuse his body had taken. But he still said, "It's worth it." He still said, "I'm not ready yet." He still said, "I've got a little bit more work to do for the cause of Christ." I think that says volumes about the desires of the Apostle Paul. He desired to serve God. He didn't just desire that casually. He didn't just desire that passively. He lived his life toward that desire to serve God with everything he had, to serve God until the last. And he did. He had a desire to follow God. Do we have that kind of a desire to follow God? Do we have that kind of a desire to serve God? We looked this morning at specifically witnessing, reaching the lost. Perhaps this is not reaching the lost. Perhaps this is submitting to full-time service. Perhaps this is reading our Bibles daily. Perhaps this is praying daily. Perhaps this is being in church weekly. Perhaps it is whatever the case may be. Do we have that kind of a desire to serve God? That says, "You know, I've been beaten, I've been wearied, I've been worn out, this world has stoned me, left me for dead, I'm still getting up, and I'm still serving God." Do we have that kind of a desire? Do I have that kind of a desire? The Apostle Paul did. I want to look at a couple responses of how people responded when God called them. Go over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We'll shift gears here just a little bit. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, verse 1. Don't let the familiarity make it less important in your mind here. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Notice that. God calls Abraham. Abraham immediately has this response. "Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So God calls Abraham. Abraham says, behold, here I am. Abraham has the right response. God says, take your son and go offer him for a sacrifice for me somewhere where I'll tell you when you get there. And Abraham says, okay, Lord, let's go. Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He immediately followed God. He immediately obeyed. And we know the rest of the story, but Abraham is given this totally absurd command, this totally bizarre command. Take your son and go offer him for a burnt offering. Not a lamb, not a ram. Take your son. And Abraham obeyed. He had the right response. Verse 1, behold, here I am. Verse 3, Abraham obeyed, not wavering. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Here I think is how many of us respond. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. The Bible says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Notice that. He has the right response. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my names before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 10, God calls Ananias here. Ananias has the right response. Behold, I am here, Lord. But then God says, go down Straight Street and inquire in Judas's house and find Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias immediately starts backpedaling. He says, Lord, hold on. This guy, he's a killer. This guy, he's got letters. He can throw me in jail. He can kill me. Lord, you've got the wrong guy. I mean, that's what Ananias is saying, essentially. But verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house. Ananias had the right response in verse 10. Behold, I am here, Lord. But God gives him a command, and Ananias does what many of us do. He questioned, he doubted, and he didn't trust. Now, we could say to some degree, rightfully so. I mean, he's talking about Saul the killer, right? And Ananias wasn't feeling like dying that day. But God had given him the command. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't go, ooh, my bad. I forgot about that, Ananias. Let me rethink this. You need to go visit somebody else. Sorry, I had the wrong guy in mind. No, it's God. He did not do that. But God reassured Ananias, and Ananias obeyed in verse 17. How many times does God call us, and we don't even have the right response? How many times does God call us, and then God reassures us, and we don't even listen? Ananias was reassured, but Ananias obeyed ultimately in verse 17. Do we have the right response when God calls us? You say, I've never heard that. Well, you're not going to hear the audible voice of God calling you. If you do, you better get off your drugs. Maybe he's working in some other way. But the Lord speaks through his word. and he does speak to us, do we have the right response? Are we willing to have the right response? Behold, I am here, Lord. You know, that takes some humility. That takes some submission to the will of God, to the some willingness to listen even to what God says. I think so many times, Christians, we have in our own mind what we want to do, what we need to do, and we're not even open to options if God were to change our way. God, I am doing this. Can you please approve? God does not just sit there and stamp papers. No. No, God has a perfect will and a perfect way for each and every one of us. Now, the question is, are we willing to listen to Him to guide and direct our steps? Or do we already know what we're going to do and we're just looking for His approval? Sometimes He'll approve our own way to teach us something. Sometimes He'll approve our own way of destruction while holding back the perfect way He had for us. Because we're too stubborn. We're too hard-hearted to listen. But verse 10, the right response. And then verse 17, the right obedience. He obeyed what God had commanded him to. Go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. I know this is a familiar passage. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have here in my notes, we are commanded to give our lives to God. How do you give your life to God? The pastor preaches, the missionary seeks to reach the lost. What do you do? You know, God has a perfect will. God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. But God is looking for our lives as a living sacrifice for each and every one of us. And you say, that's scary. You know, God calls a lot of people to support their church, to be involved in their church, and to stay right there. Not to go to a foreign field, not to go to Alaska, not to move out and go start a church. God calls a lot of people to just be involved, to be a testimony, to be a witness, to be a light in their community. That is probably what the majority of people are called to. But then you also have the minority who God does call to full-time service. God does call to go to a foreign field. God does call to go plant a church somewhere, foreign or in the States. But God calls to a different level to go somewhere else to do something else. But I want you to think about this. In God's eyes, the missionary that's going and seeking the lost, the pastor that's preaching and pastoring here, those callings are no greater than the call to be in the pew. Those callings, they are by all means different. But that is not a greater calling to that person than God calling you to stay here in Ottumwa, to be faithful here in Ottumwa, to be a witness here in Ottumwa. That's not a lesser calling. That's not a lesser calling than going to a mission field. Does it get less publicity? Sure it does. Is it necessary? Sure it is. But we oftentimes look in our mind's eyes and we consider and go, oh, but they are called to that. Yes, it's special in what God has for that person, perhaps. You see all these different missionaries called to foreign fields around the world. Yes, God has called them specially for those areas. But that is no more important to them than what God has for you here, if that makes sense. Because God has a plan. God has a perfect will and way. And if you're in that perfect will and way, then you're serving God the best that you can, just like all the rest of those missionaries. The question is are you seeking that perfect way? Are you presenting your body that living sacrifice, wholly acceptable? You say, how do I make it holy? How do I make it acceptable? It's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that it gets cleaned, that it becomes that holy, acceptable sacrifice. Let's continue on. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." Does that not sound like America today? It really does. Verse 27, "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." And then comes the famous verse that we've all heard. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." I want you to consider this thought. Verse 30, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." Think about this. If you alone are the individual, not you and your spouse, not you and your family, not you and anybody else, you alone individually is who God was hinging the judgment of America upon, would God spare the land because of you, because of how you're living today, right now? Would God spare the land? Would God find in you that person that is making up the hedge, that is standing in that gap for the land? Would God find that? Or would God find someone, one of His people? Notice, this is the nation of Israel He's talking about. These are His people. But they were not listening to Him. Would God find someone who is born again, who is on their way to heaven, who is saved, who is not ever going to lose that, but is doing nothing for the cause of Christ? Is that who God would find in you? Or would God find someone that is making up that difference? Would God find someone that is standing in that gap? Would God find a Christian in you who's doing something for the cause of Christ? Or would God find a Christian that's just a Christian? Consider it. Would God spare America if this was the doom proclaimed because of you alone and your testimony? Would God spare the land, or would God bring judgment? He looked through all the land for one individual. And the tragedy is in the end that I should not destroy it, but I found none. All the nation of Israel were not serving God. No one in the land was serving God as God had asked. And God wasn't looking for a ton. God wasn't looking for a perfect person. God was looking for someone who was doing one of two things, or was doing two things. Someone that was making up the hedge and someone that was standing in the gap before me for the land. But it says, I found none. Would God find that person in you? Would God find that Christian in you? Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Go over to Romans chapter 10. We'll close here. Romans chapter 10. God is looking for people. God is looking for Christians that are just willing to serve Him. God is still looking for Christians that are just willing to serve Him. It says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Do you desire to serve God today? Or do you desire to serve yourself? Do you desire to serve God today? Or do you desire to serve your pocketbook? Do you desire to serve God today? Or do you desire to serve your family? There's nothing wrong with family. Please don't misunderstand me. But family can pull you out of church. And if it does, then you're not serving the right God. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 3 there sums up all religion. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and they're going about to establish their own righteousness. But consider verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Apostle Paul said, I desire to see the nation of Israel saved. And I don't just desire it, I pray for it. I don't just desire it, I live my life for that desire. I live my life toward that desire. And if you study the life of Paul, the Apostle Paul at all those things he suffered that we read earlier, all those different things, he suffered not because he had to, not because he was required to suffer those things, but he chose to serve God. He chose to desire to see the nation of Israel saved, which means he chose to suffer those things for the cause of Christ. Why? Because he had a desire to serve God, and he had a desire to see the nation of Israel saved. But he had more than a desire. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I have to ask the question, what does our prayer life look like? You know, there is by no means anything wrong with praying for our own personal needs. Jesus did. We know that. But if that is all our prayer is, I would have to ask the question, where is our desire? If all we pray for are ourselves all the time, where is our desire? Are they inward? I would have to venture to say they are. Do we have a care for the lost that puts them in our prayer? Do we have a care for the lost that says, I'm going to pray for them? What are our heart's desires tonight? I think we need to examine them. Are we willing to serve God? Are we an available tool in the hand of God? You know, many of us carry the name of Jesus. You know, Snap-on tools, they all carry that name, right? Snap-on. And you know, the thing is with Snap-on tools is you break them sometimes. And they get warrantied. But how many of us today, we have the name of Jesus, but we are a broken tool in the hand of the user. We're a broken tool in the hand of Jesus Christ. We're a Christian. We're never going to lose that name. But boy, we need to go find the warranty shop sometimes. Because we are busted when it comes for the usability that God has for us. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God has a perfect will and way for each and every one of us. I don't know what that is for you. But I know this, if you study the Word of God, if you pray, if you consider, Lord will show it to you. He absolutely will show it to you. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be when you think you should see it, but He'll show it to you. But then I have to ask the question, do you have a desire to serve God in the first place? Or do you have a desire to do something else with life? The Apostle Paul had a desire to serve God, and his prayer life matched those desires. Or you could put it the other way, his desires matched those prayers. What do we desire as Christians? Is it to serve God? Or is it something else? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you just help us now to consider it. Lord, work in hearts, I pray. Just help us, each and every one of us. I think we can all get distracted, Lord, at times. We can all get off target. Lord, I don't think we want to, but I think it happens. It's just a fact of life, Lord, if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention. I pray that you just help each and every one of us to have a desire to serve you. Help us to not just have a desire, but help us to be living our life in a way, Lord, that if you were to call anyone here into the ministry, that they would be qualified, Lord. Lord, qualified, but also ready to where they could go. I pray, Lord, that you just work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet as we go to the invitation. I'd like to go ahead and play the piano. And if God has spoken to your heart about something, maybe you just need to check up on your desires. You know, how we live our life is indicative of our desires. You can tell what a person desires by what they put their time into, what they put their effort into, what they put their hours into, and as he mentioned, what they're praying for. The Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. If we delight in him, our desires are going to be right, and they're going to be fulfilled. It has been a good day, and I trust it has been a blessing to you. My heart has been blessed. The preaching of God's word has been good. It has been effective. And if we're ready to hear, God had something for us. And so take it now, and let's use it throughout the week. Nothing worse than getting it in there, and then it just sits. Okay, it's got to get used, and so let's do that. We'll have Brother Wasson, go back to the table back there. You can stop by, look at some of the different things from Alaska, talk to them a little bit. If you have any more questions, you can talk to them. If I could get Benjamin, would you head up some young men, medium-aged men, to get those totes from upstairs? They're just all lined up upstairs, and if you can bring them down to the foyer, that'll save him having to carry them all by himself. And so if you can help with that, just follow Benjamin up there, and then You can go back. So, all right, go ahead. There they go, one at a time, several. There's a lot of totes, so. Okay. All right, they'll get them. Father, we thank you so much for the day. God, help us. I pray that you would be with the Wassons now as they have much work to do tomorrow to get ready to be on the road out west. Father, bring the support in that they need. God, help them to be prepared to go. Father, we know that the need up there is great. There is a complete lack of witness in most all of those villages. And how shall they hear if someone is not sent? So God, I pray that you would open that path. But God, I also ask, Lord, we know, every one of us know, and Lord, as we go out and knock on doors here, there are people all through here that somehow named the name of Christ, but there's been no change in their life. God, please help. May your power work in this town. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.